10:01. I would like to take a quick moment to thank you for those of you that are here. It's kind of a small group this morning, also the smallest number of committee members I think we've ever had in the history of the Firefighter Advisory Committee. For those of you that are listening on air, there's just three of us here this morning, and to dispel the question, and I don't know if Frank wants to weigh in, but we do have a quorum with three because there are only five members of the committee at this point.
That is correct.
Okay, and we know, Jim Reed, you'll be here in just a few minutes, so we'll have four. So I'd also like to take just a quick minute to, for a moment of silence, just to remember the departments and organizations and people who serve in the fire service who may be struggling right now with loss or illness and some line of, not line of duty deaths, but some deaths that have occurred in the fire service that we're familiar with. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just take a moment of silence just to recognize those people. Thank you. So with that, we will start our meeting. So, Antonio?
Right. Yes, sir. Item number one, roll call and excuse of absence, if any, of committee members. Daniel DeYeer.
I'm here.
Daniel Buford.
Daniel is no longer on the committee. Is that correct? He is
correct.
A vacancy. He is now a commissioner.
Okay. Jim Reedy.
He should be here momentarily.
All right. Vince Abrego.
Vince is excused. Vince cannot be here today.
Daniel Anderson.
I'm here.
And Antonio Ramos, which I'm here. All right, I'll move on to item number two, adoption of the June 20, 2024 Firefighter Advisory Committee meetings.
Okay, so I'm hoping you guys have had a chance to look at that and review that. Did you see any omissions or errors that need to be corrected? Does it look pretty accurate?
It looked accurate to me. I didn't see any changes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't, I didn't see anything on there. I didn't flag anything either. So with that, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Anybody a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, so Danielle has a motion. Antonio will second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so moved.
Item number three, discussion and possible action of the rule review of 37 Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 403, Criminal Convictions and Eligibility for Certification.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I can lay this out for you real fast. So we have the rule review policy in place, and commissioners have made the decision that we're going to try to knock out one or two at every one of their meetings, and it appears they're going to be pushing those to you guys. So while we just recently, within the last year, looked at 403, we started over based on the numbers, and it's one of the first ones. So this is just part of that rule review process.
Okay. And I'm hoping with this process, because we're at least we can boast on the fact that we're caught up on our rule reviews.
We are caught up. We're going to try to stay that way.
Right.
For now.
And I think what would help is at least for everybody else in the state to understand that this is will be an ongoing process. So if anybody sees this rule getting ready to be reviewed, if they wanted to comment or make suggestions or recommendations, I would like to make sure everybody understands we would appreciate that. So
sure. I mean, it's an open review right now. It's out for proposed or accepting comments, and you guys are reviewing it under that same auspice. But what drives this is the state has a law that all Texas administrative codes have to be reviewed every 4 years. So what happened, that change occurred in 21, and previously it was a five-year schedule. So immediately we went from being about two behind to being about 18 behind. So we had to play a little catch-up for a couple of years, and we got caught up and decided just to start the process again. Let's stay ahead of it. So we're just going to knock out two a quarter, and they're certainly open for any comments or questions or whatnot.
Okay. Have you guys received any comments at all from anybody on this rule review?
Not on 403 yet.
No. Nothing on 403. Okay. So I have read through there, and I didn't see anything that jumped off as a concern for me, but I'll entertain the other committee members if anybody else saw anything or was concerned about anything that's worth revisiting, especially if it contradicts something somewhere else or it's potentially no longer relevant or outdated. So,
in 403.5.
Okay.
Subsection C. Does that language need to be updated to include non-regulated entities as well, if they're voluntarily?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, if they're voluntarily regulated, they're a regulated entity. So if we put in there non-regulated now, it looks like we're after so everybody. I can't do that.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, that clarifies that. Jim, have you reviewed this at all?
I'm good with that one. I have comments on the next one, though.
Okay. So nothing on 403?
No.
Okay.
We spent a long time crafting that thing, a couple times.
Yeah, back in the day.
Both of these, there was a lot of work went into both of them.
Right.
Doesn't mean they can't be tweaked now. That was
years ago. But. Sure. Well, it says something to the work that was put into it that we're now reviewing it years later, and it still stands pretty much the same. So nothing needs to be corrected. Did staff have any comments at all that you're...
No, and this was out of the 21 sunset process, this was one that we were... It was required that we do a pretty thorough review at the time, and we spent a lot of time on it then, and there was nothing. I don't see anything right now that needs to be updated in here.
Okay.
Well, that being... We haven't discussed anything.
Frank, not to throw you into the circle here, but I guess I'm assuming that as we go through this process that our legal does review this as well in case there is something that we're just missing from the legal aspect of this?
Yes, I do review.
So we look pretty good as far as you're concerned?
403 looks fine.
Okay, perfect. That's reassurance for me, at least. So, with that, I will entertain a motion, if there is one.
I'll make a motion to keep it as is.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Daniel Anderson made the motion. Jim seconded that we leave 403 as is, and we will give it credit for being reviewed on this date. And I will entertain this. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, so moved. So now this goes on to the commissioners.
We go back
here.
To the commission with no recommended changes from you guys.
All right. So anybody that's listening, if they have something
still,
that they concern,
it's still open for public comment.
Yeah, they can bring a public comment to the commissioners.
And if I could maybe do a little advisement on the motion, after review by the Firefighter Advisory Commission, we move to accept 403 as is with no changes, just to make it clear that you guys have reviewed it, didn't find anything, and move to accept it as is and move it towards the commission.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. We can do that.
Way to go, Frank. Gold star for you.
You can't go home yet. Hang on.
Yeah. All right.
Item number four, discussion and possible action on the rule review of 37th Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 421, Standards for Certification.
Okay. So, Chief Wisco, do you guys have anything to weigh in before we get started?
Not at this point, but certainly open to any recommendations.
I have some questions.
Okay, Jim.
In 421.3, and this is really more like cleanup stuff and everything, but there's a comment in there about, it's down here in the functional thing. 421B3. It talks about weights and volumes, calculating weights and volumes.
Under three, marine?
No, it's the functional job descriptions.
So if you could give us the right number so everybody that is listening would know where to go.
421.3BA in the qualifications.
Oh, the very first one.
Okay. Oh, it's about halfway through. Ability to function through an entire work shift, and then it says ability to calculate weight and volume ratios. Does that speak to, like in the old days when we had to calculate different water flows?
Yeah, friction loss in a 3-inch.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah.
I mean, because we in there interpret English, file oral, and all that, but I it just didn't, I'm just, I don't know what it is, so. Does it hurt anything?
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't add anything, doesn't hurt anything. I was kind of curious what that was. Because that sure looks like old language to me. Unless it's out of the ProQuals.
That should come straight from the ProQual.
Okay.
And we can, we'll make a note of it, and we can look at the quals and make sure that that language matches.
This is just a proof to you. I actually read through this whole thing.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, so I think there is a chance that could be an outdated term, but if it's not harming anything or contradicting anything, well, it's in there. You know, that word could kind of circle back around again.
You never know, right?
Right. Okay. So you don't have any motion or anything to change that? We just wanted to discuss it.
I wanted to get a little clarification there, and then right. I'm good to go with that one.
We'll check the current qual, the NFPA quals.
If it's supposed to actually mean something, then I'm sure it could be a little more definitive or specific, but if it's just a generalized statement, then it is what it is. So.
Yeah. Okay.
But we've updated all of our ProQuals so much over the years,
sure.
And certifications and stuff, I just don't know. So.
We'll take a look at it.
Okay. Anything else in there?
And throughout here, it talks about, just as a general rule, it talks about the... it's the ultimate responsibility, and it talks about this throughout here, but in like two, I'm just picking one out, two aircraft firefighting personnel. And it talks in the last sentence of that first section, it talks about it's the ultimately the responsibility of an employer to define specific job descriptions within each jurisdiction. And I think that's fine for day-to-day operations, but should that be above the minimum standards, or should that be above what the certification is? Or because I'm not saying it would happen, but could a jurisdiction set up minimum job qualifications or classifications below what we certify them at? I wouldn't think so, but.
Well, if they did, it still wouldn't absolve them of having to meet our qualifications.
Well, right, but so my point is could an entity take a perfect example of this would be a fire inspector. And could they say, okay, well, here's what the fire inspector's certification is, but we want you to do this, which isn't in that, but they're defining what that specific job description is.
I think to the question of could they? Sure. I mean, anybody
could
do anything, but it would be a violation because they have to meet the minimum requirements. Mm-hmm.
And so does this need to be specified a little better or just leave it? And it jumped out at me because...
I would think we'd need to leave it because if we specify over, then now we're kind of challenging their authority as a local jurisdiction.
And my thought is that it doesn't absolve them of having to meet our minimum
right.
standards, and we certainly wouldn't want to hinder an organization for raising the bar.
Well, that would be my point, is raising the bar would be great.
Right.
Yeah, but going below the bar would not be good, and I'm sure it happens and is happening. So, and the other part was for you and Frank, Mike. So is there a difference in a mandatory certification and a voluntary certification in that aspect also or not?
Oh, man, we have certification requirements, and you have to meet those, and those are based on the minimums. So, again, the question of could they attempt it, sure, but
sure.
I think we would find that in a compliance inspection. Or in the case of a voluntary cert, probably just in the curriculum. I mean, I think that would be it.
As I was reading through all these, it kind of jumped out at me that there's certain kind of language in the voluntary ones, and then there's certain different language in the mandatory ones. I could probably pick that out just because we worked on it so much, but I'm not sure that the regular person looking at that would be able to pick that out. So I'm only saying.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people reading these like we do on a regular basis.
I don't think.
Yeah, right? So.
If you ever can't sleep, it's a good cure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Plenty of words here.
My only comment was just to really, in some fashion in here, identify what's a mandatory certification for us and then what is a voluntary certification. And I don't think that would hurt in here at all. And I don't know that we wouldn't do that today, but I would say that as we go along and we have more voluntary and mandatory certifications, that even in this standard job description section, that we should identify and differentiate those. I don't think it would hurt, and I think it would give us a little more, I don't know, visibility, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, so.
Jim, I want to make sure I'm understanding you. Are you saying just to the extent of defining what they are?
No, just defining that, it, like, in these different sections, you know, somehow this is a mandatory certification or something to that effect. And the voluntary ones, like driver-operator is a voluntary certification, right?
Right.
And so, you know, somehow I identify wordsmith or whatever that, you know, this is a voluntary certification. Here are the minimum certification requirements to achieve this one. But in a mandatory one, you know, this is a mandatory certification or whatever you want to call it, and this criteria must be met, kind of thing. So I don't know. So that's all I would say on that. So it doesn't hurt us to be a little more clear and transparent, I don't think.
I would just say address that in whatever motion you guys make as a recommendation, sending it up, and then we can have that conversation with the commissioner.
And if you don't think it's necessary or viable,
I don't think it's unreasonable. I think we, from the staff side, we want to look at that. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I think it's worth looking at, whether it's done or not. That would be up to the commission. But I think it's worth looking at. Looking at it right here, I think it would be pretty easy to do. I mean, there's only seven that are mandatory, and yeah. I think it's just some statement that this is mandatory if you're assigned these duties or
something in that effect. Yeah.
It's worth looking at, but I just think that needs to come as a recommendation from you all, and we can start looking at it now before we get to that November meeting.
Do you want them individually, or do you want them for the whole thing?
I think you just do one motion.
Okay. There is a section in here that identifies an assistant fire chief as a chief there's a thing in here that identifies an assistant fire chief as the second in command or something to
the
that
officer
effect.
Occupying the first position subordinate to the head of the fire department.
So as funny as it sounds, that's not uniform across the state.
Yeah, it's not true with San Antonio.
No, and if San Antonio's the only one, I would love to be the one to tell them that they need to change it. So, if we're identifying that in our rules and standards, then I mean somebody should probably tell them, hey, for the second in command will be designated. You know, the next up shall be designated by the authority having jurisdiction, whatever that rank is.
So what would be, and this may be a frank question, but what would be the reason that an assistant chief is required to be defined in this at all? A deputy chief's not in here, battalion chief's not in here.
I bet you it's old language that got missed. It's probably old language.
So could that just be deleted and we make that recommendation to the commissioners?
I would think so. Because in a small department, the next up to the fire chief could be a captain.
What?
You know, so.
What page are you guys on?
23.
At the very top, almost. Number 5.
I didn't see anywhere before that would require that.
Yeah, I only saw it in one place. It kind of stood out, but yeah, it was in one place.
And that is 421 point what? 3?
421.
It's in definitions.
14.5, in the workbook it's page 23 at the very top.
Uh,
Yeah, that's a good idea. Delete it.
So if that's in your motion, I'll just say we'll do some research on our end. I mean, I'm sure it's going to lead to some big, long history lesson, but we'll figure it out.
Well, you're going to be the one to give us the lesson, then, aren't you?
Well, unfortunately, that was there before any of us got here, so we'll have to do a little research.
Yeah, I laughed a little.
But it does raise the question.
Because I mean, your point is spot on that it's not consistent across the state, no. So it certainly warrants taking a look at it.
Yeah, okay.
While it's semantics, it could be important.
And I think consensus here would be recommend to the commissioners that they delete it. Because that would be my recommendation.
Yeah. Well, I think we forward that on to the commissioners. There's a little bit of time for everybody to look at it again. And, I don't see a point or anything that this accomplishes other than muddying the water. So,
going on, if I can.
Sure.
The chief training officer in here is just identified as the chief training officer. Does that training officer, I'm assuming, has to have some kind of certification to be a chief training officer and be over an academy or whatever?
Instructor 3.
It is, but that's outlined in the specifics for running an academy. I think for the purpose of this is just a definition.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
So
and it leaves it pretty open by whatever title he or she may be called. So,
but not every department runs a training academy.
Right.
The
definition on the interior structural firefighting, there was one section in there. It talks about incipient and an enclosed structure, something else. But I thought that in addition to an enclosed structure. It talks about an incipient stage fire past, what you have to wear an SCBA for, that kind of thing. I would think an enclosed area should also be added to enclosed structure.
So it does say enclosed structures, right?
But enclosed structure would typically lean to a house or a building or whatever. But you have enclosed areas. A subway tunnel, no subways here, but a tunnel.
We have them in Dallas.
Well, a tunnel, a parking garage, a dead-end parking garage, some of those subterranean garage and delivery areas below buildings.
You don't think that would fall under enclosed structures separate from buildings? Because it says buildings or enclosed structures.
I just think an enclosed area in this day and age probably would not hurt us to add that to that, including an enclosed area.
So, in reading that, if it said the physical activity of fire suppression, rescue, or both, inside of buildings or enclosed, or the new word you're trying to add is?
Enclosed area.
Areas, yeah. Or structures.
Yeah.
Or enclosed structures or areas. You would add the word or areas in there?
Yeah, or enclosed areas.
As long as we're looking at this, if we finish that sentence with saying which are involved in a fire situation, period, is there a reason we have the beyond the incipient stage? Because I'm thinking that's not well defined.
Well, incipient stage is what you can hit with without an SCBA. Without a large-scale line, that kind of thing. So
that's defined elsewhere?
Yeah. It's on 26.
Yeah.
Number 26.
And so past incipient stage fire is when you have to wear an SCBA and you have to use a larger diameter water supply or whatever.
Okay. I'm good with that. So you would like to see the word areas included?
Yeah,
beyond
closed areas.
Beyond the word structure. Excuse me.
By the time the commission meeting comes, I mean, I'll look at it again, see if we can find a better synonym or something, or, you know, but
I think it bears because of, just because of all the added infrastructure and then existing infrastructure that is below ground or enclosed or one way. And now with the car fires and the EV fires and all that kind of stuff, it should be mentioned. I don't know that they'll ever follow that, but it should be mentioned.
Okay.
And one more. In here, we need to correct state firemen and fire marshals.
To yeah, so
state
I have
firefighters
that flag too.
And fire marshals.
Yeah, they've changed their
and that would be a global in there, so a global change. Yeah, that's right about when I started nodding off. So.
How many times is it referring to the SFF?
A couple at least. I saw
I
at least a couple.
Under 51A, II.
But we can just
ID.
Do a global. Just say yeah. It contained in there, and the everywhere it's contained, it needs to be changed, corrected.
Okay.
Just when we thought we didn't have anything else to do, now we got some work to do.
Okay, so anything else for discussion?
Not this one.
So, do you want to form that into a motion, Jim, for us?
Sammy, what do you think? Can we do that?
Yeah.
I saw you taking notes, thank God.
Yeah, I got it all in.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we recommend to the commissioners the following changes in this language. The first one was... do you want to review weights and volumes, or do you just want to leave that alone? That was just leave it alone, right? You said?
Yeah, I thought we decided.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. See, I'm getting old. I can't remember what I said.
Well, then you talked about the assistant chief.
Well, yeah.
After weights and volumes.
Recommend that we delete the assistant chief language to ensure common terminology across the state or whatever. I don't know, so.
And you talked about adding areas to structure.
And then
structure.
Yeah, so in the interior structural firefighting definition to add enclosed areas. And to do a global change throughout 421 to reflect state firefighters and fire marshals rather than state firemen and fire marshals. I had another one out here.
Look at your notes then.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah, above the minimum. Okay, so we talked about that. Oh, I have another question for, it's just a question. But it's relevant to this. As I was looking through here, it talked about completing TCFP courses rather than passing them, passing the tests. I saw that in a couple different places. Is that old language from you just had to complete things, or is that...
You have to complete the course before you can take
the test.
So, yeah, it's old language, but I would think it would still apply because you do have people that they get injured or they get sick or something and they don't complete then. So they're not eligible to test until they complete
it. Okay, so for those definitions in there, though, would it be complete the course and pass the certification test to become that person?
I think I would need to read it, but I think that's probably covered under the TAS 437, where he talks about the exams. It probably gets a little more specific in there.
Let's see here.
Damn. I don't know you were going to challenge me like this. I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express last night.
So, see, like for fire inspection personnel, it says...
Where are you at?
4A. Big 4, big A. You know, it says qualifications. Submit a complete, a commission-approved course. Got that. Achieve a passing score on certification examinations and the rest of it, knowledge, skills, and abilities. And I'm thinking that... I'll give you another example. So marine fire protection personnel, right? In addition to the qualifications for basic structural, familiarity with geographic and physical components, blah, 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 knowledge, competency, demonstrate competency in handling emergencies in accordance with objectives in Chapter 3 of the Commission Certification Manual. There's no, and I only say this as an example, there's no complete a course, there's no pass a certification exam, so, but that is a voluntary certification. So,
which one?
Marine is 3.
Marine's not voluntary. Marine's a mandatory one.
Okay,
you're
so then
marine duties, it's mandatory.
Right. So then in here, it doesn't reflect the same language that the fire inspector, which obviously is a mandatory, right? It just
We'll look at that when we're looking at the some kind of statement about which ones are mandatory or voluntary.
Yeah, and so that's in a couple of the different ones, and that's kind of where I thought maybe that would apply to, voluntary and mandatory. But yeah, if that's a mandatory, then it's probably just a matter of us updating some of that stuff.
So do you want to add that into your motion or just have that as the discussion?
See, aircraft is the same thing, too.
I'm not following you on that. So show me where on the aircraft. Where are we at?
Two big A, B, and C, or A and B.
421.3.
Yeah.
Can you give me a page number?
Yeah.
15 and 16, I thought.
It doesn't say on my computer, so...
Yeah, I don't have page numbers on here.
Wait a minute, I think I can get a page number.
They're at the top.
Very tiny at the top.
Are you looking for aircraft?
Yeah.
So where in that wording are you?
Well, it says competency. Basic firefighting must demonstrate competency handling emergencies, skills, with the objectives in Chapter 2 of the commissions, but it does not say about, as it says for fire inspection personnel, achieve a passing score on a certification examination.
So that's inconsistent.
As I'm sitting here going back 30 years now thinking about this, that makes me seem old, but I'm only 31, so I started young.
Yeah.
At the time, there was an opinion that competency is different from certification. You have to demonstrate a competency to be able to attain the certification, to pass the skills, testing, and all of that. That was the argument. Yeah.
Is it old language?
Yeah, it's old language. Is it worth reviewing it to see if there's a way to update it? Yeah, but I would say we need to pay attention to what's in the NFPA.
I agree.
Qualifications. So, again, in that first part of the motion, we'll take a look at all of those and see what.
Okay.
Actually, you didn't include your first change to 421.3, where you're talking about calculate weights and volume, but I can tell you we'll take a look at all that and make sure it lines up with.
If it wasn't going to be an issue, I just think.
I'm going to look at it anyway, whether you put it in motion or not, because I think it warrants. Mm-hmm. Taking a look, make sure it's in line.
Okay.
That point of a rule review. So I mean it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's relevant that, you know, we call out a little better the things that are mandatory everywhere in our rules, and, you know, just to be a little more clear and transparent.
Yeah. We can take a, we'll take a look at all of it.
Okay. That's all I got.
All right. So we have a motion on the table. We don't need to reread it, do we? I don't want to do that to Sammy.
Well, if we do, then Sammy's going to have to go.
Probably would.
Yeah.
All right. So you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I have a motion.
Second it.
Antonio seconds it. Any additional discussion on the recommendations for the commissioners? Okay, that having said, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so move. We'll move that on to the commissioners.
Right. Item number five, discussion on cancer and mental health related to the Texas Fire Service.
Okay. So, Chief, how did this get to our, do we request this?
I wasn't at your last meeting.
I believe Daniel
this
Buford.
This was a request you guys made.
I believe Daniel Buford made that request.
We had that discussion, and that was basically just to keep it on the agenda so we can move forward with anything. And one of the things to add to that is I know that we've got a mental health program, and one of the guys has asked if he said he's interested in doing a presentation to kind of show the direction that the fire service is going and see if there's anything that we can build in into the commission or make a recommendation to the commission. I didn't know if that would be something to discuss here or
we do not have a mental health program, but that's something right. that the Health and Wellness Committee is going to be working on once they reconvene next week. So maybe down the road, once they get their feet under them and get reorganized as a committee, I mean, that would be something that would go through them.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that it's a good timing to look at this because we just came off reviewing the injury report for 2023, and I think that's where Commissioner Buford was wanting to look at that. Of course, now we have the Health and Wellness Committee. Their next meeting is next week. So, and I know this would certainly be something that they would probably put at the top of their list. Not speaking for that committee, but
hands down, it's going to be. We just got to look at reorganize it.
Right. And we made great strides in the fire service and in the Texas Fire Service on the cancer issue, although there's still plenty of work to do there, in my opinion. But the mental health still has a ways to go. So I think Commissioner Buford, he was just wanting to at least have that opportunity to have the foot in the door. I have not heard from him. I don't know if you've heard from Daniel Buford at all about anything that he was passionate about on this. So.
Yeah,
and nothing has come to y'all, Chief, about this. It's been posted to for our meeting.
There's conversations every day about mental health stuff, and we're working. We've got a lot going on right now. We're working with TECO and Dishes together, trying to streamline. Really, we're trying to come up with some ideas of what we could take to the legislature because they seem to be mandating things on law enforcement. So we want to get ahead of that. Clearly, the fire service is the only one that's not doing anything. It hasn't been mandated to do anything, so we're trying to get ahead of that. But we want to learn from them what's worked for them, what hadn't worked for them. We don't want to repeat those same mistakes. So about 4 months ago, we all started working together, and we're having some meetings right now working through that, trying to figure out what's going to be our best route. And at the same time, have a unified front. So we go back to the legislature that we all support this idea of doing something and probably more inclined to get something pushed through if we're all supporting it and working together on it. So there's actually been a lot going on with that, but it hasn't made it to the commission or the committee level yet. It's a staff level political conversation. We're trying to figure out the right way to go with this because something needs to improve. We're just trying to figure out what that needs to look like. So. Because if we don't recommend something will get
recommended for us.
To us, and we'll have to make that work. So we'd rather have the
have
solution
so.
Before the wagon shows up.
What are you thinking?
We're working through a lot right now. I mean, I'll tell you the consensus of the consortium, we're calling it, is that the focus needs to be on helping the people that need help right now. I think we're all, and this is my opinion, but I think we're all missing the boat on just recognizing somebody that needs help and making sure they know where to find that help. I think once we can be a little more successful at that, then we start doing some training. So far, the training's been all about, here's all the different places you can go, but we're not teaching one another how do we recognize that somebody's struggling. A recent example, there was an individual that committed suicide, and the stories all came out after the fact. He talked to five different people in the fire station he was working in, and he asked them just to keep it between them. Well, if they'd have talked to one another, if they'd have recognized this guy's got a problem, and they'd have talked to one another and compared notes, maybe they could have helped get him the help he needed or push him in the direction he needed to go. As it turned out, they honored his request. Hey, don't say this to anybody. I'm just confiding in you. And I think we all understand that. So I think it's important we figure out how to get the right training that helps us recommend or recognize, hey, this is somebody that's really asking for help. We need to steer them in the right direction. On the law enforcement side, they've been mandated to do a lot of training as far as de-escalation and recognizing a mental health crisis in somebody they're dealing with, a citizen. They're not getting any training in recognizing it in one another or in themselves. And so I think what we're focused on right now is how do we get help for the people that need it today? And then from that, what kind of training really would be beneficial for that? And we're having great discussions, but we're not at a point yet that we've said, this is what we need to do, and we're trying to get there. We see a deadline of January before the session starts. We need to do something with this. So.
Well, I know the Health and Wellness Committee, that'll be a hot subject next week, because I know myself, coming from a fire department community that I served decades in, we had a suicide since the last time we all met in this room, and we have now had more suicides in the last 5 years than we did in the previous 45 years. And at the same time, we have more resources available to the firefighters than ever have existed before.
So something's not measuring up. This group, we've all agreed, look, the resources are there.
Yeah.
We've got to do something to make sure they know they're there, just an awareness. So we're working on that. That's priority one. Let's make sure folks know where they can get the help they need. Priority two is what kind of training for everybody to help them recognize it in one another and in themselves, and that's what we're trying to streamline. So we're working with TEKS, we're working with UT Health Science, we're working with Sam Houston State, because they all have individual programs going on. So it's kind of neat that we've brought these three state universities to the table with us and TECO and DISHES, and we're having these big 30,000 foot discussions about it. And we're making some progress. We haven't zeroed in on here's what we want the action to be for this. So,
is that meeting next week open?
The Health and Wellness, yeah, it's just like this meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're calling in all these bigger places. What about fire departments that already have programs in place?
What I'm telling you about has nothing to do with the Health and Wellness Committee. This is the three agencies working together, trying to figure out how to solve this problem.
Yeah.
It has not made it to the commission or the committee level yet.
Right.
But in the three agency meetings, we're pulling from everything that's out there. We're reaching out to the different departments that are doing what's working, what's not working. And the bottom line is the fire service is way behind the curve, and that's a problem. I want to get ahead of that.
So I know personally for myself what I've been wrestling with, and I'll be bringing it to the Health and Wellness Committee next week, is the mental health of our firefighters clearly is the responsibility of organizations and the fire service in general. So workers' comp is involved in this. But when it comes to the suicide aspect of it, I know I personally have a struggle with that being an LODD. I believe the wording in it is it's a case-by-case basis, but right now, I think that's still evolving, and I'm concerned. I think there needs to be a lot more discussions on how that actually plays out, because
it
could be a double-edged sword.
Those discussions are going to have to happen at the lawmaking level.
Right.
Not here. We don't make law here.
Right.
We make
but we can kind of steer
recommendations. The commission makes administrative codes, but without laws, we're not going to change what workers' comp does.
Right, but with the commissioners and the advisory committee and the health and wellness committee, we're now using folks who are in the fire service mm-hmm. that are up close and personal. And you know, we've seen plenty of laws that come along that don't connect the dots or leave a
again a back, door back open. To this having these three state agencies together. We're yeah. trying to get better at that.
Yeah,
we're trying, but we just started. I mean, 4 months.
Yeah, and I feel really reassured by that because I think now we're getting all the right players at least to talk to each other. So hopefully we can come up with some sort of
novel idea. State agencies talking to one another.
Well,
would have thought
kind of a new concept. Yeah. We're trying. we made some headway.
Okay. How about the cancer? Jim, did you have anything else? Because it wasn't just mental health on agenda item number five. It was also cancer.
So are we to the point now where we're mandating the cancer reporting on the injury reporting?
We cannot mandate it.
Okay.
It's not in the law. We're not allowed to mandate it.
So it'll have to be in the law before we can do that. Okay.
But by encouraging it like we have, we're seeing an uptick in...
Are we?
Things being reported. Yeah, so I think just getting the word out that we would like them to report. I know we have a lot of discussion during the regional meetings when we're out there, and we just drive home the point. You're not required to do it. And in some cases, it's not even realistic because a guy retires and then 3 years later gets diagnosed with cancer. He's not going to go back and tell the department to do an injury report, nor would they. They don't want that liability. So there's still a huge part being missed
yeah.
in there. But... just recommending or suggesting that they report it, that we're seeing an uptick in what's being reported.
On our webpage, the commission's webpage, do we have the presumptive laws, a link to the presumptive laws on our webpage? I don't know. It's not a trap question. I don't remember. But that and the ERS statute also. And I'm thinking that maybe that'll get more people to report to their departments or to us if they see that by reporting, you know, there will be a financial benefit if they pass away or get really sick or that type of thing.
We can take a look at that.
And that one ERS one, too. Yeah. ERS, you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what they call it, but I can see the page. I just don't have it.
I have it up here somewhere.
You want to take a quick break and research that real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah, let's take a
quick all right, let's take a real quick 5 minute. This is 5 minutes. And then we'll return.
Here it is.
I see the two tied together, and I wasn't at the meeting, but my thought was that maybe that was all in one statement, and it would just.
I wasn't at the meeting either.
Was there discussion on something to do with workers' comp related to the injury report, or was that back? I think that may have been with the cancer.
I'm not recalling.
I'm not either.
It might have been like to bring somebody in here just to kind of give us a definition about it, but I don't recall.
I think it was Commissioner Buford that had made that request, if my memory serves me right, for both 5 and 6.
Well, they already seat him?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys ready to get back at it?
What were you asking me now?
I'm just asking the question. Is item 6 not really the same as 5, which is what we're under right now? It kind of.
Yeah, I wasn't at that meeting.
I think, if memory serves me, I think what we just accomplished under item 5 was the intent, and you shared that information about ongoing yeah. programs that are in the process, and that would be separate from the injury report, and I think that's kind of why. We were concerned about, you know, for the last several years now, we keep making the recommendations on the cancer. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I guess we need to go back into session to
sure.
have this discussion. So everybody ready? Okay, we'll resume the meeting. So, Chief, you were just asking about agenda items 5 and 6. And I would probably be misspeaking for Commissioner Buford, but he... I know he was concerned about the issue with mental health and the cancer still in the fire service. And I think you've answered that already, separate from the injury report that we see from year to year. So I think you've just given us a wealth of information to know, or at least anybody else that might be listening in or looking at this agenda item in the audience, that there is a lot of work taking place to address this. So a lot of people may not just be aware of it. So it's clearly on all of our radar screens. But
how is our communication with workers' comp to get different things as far as injury reporting and stuff goes?
It's improving. I mean, do we want to open six and then talk about that?
Yeah, I think that would be back to the injury report, because this was just general discussion on cancer and health, mental health. So is there? There's no actionable items here. This is just was for discussion. Yeah. So is everybody good with moving on from number five, agenda item number five? Okay, Tony, if you want to read six.
Item number six, continuing discussion regarding the injury report and reporting collaboration between agencies as mentioned in the Texas Government Code, Chapter 419.
Okay. So now I think Commissioner Buford was trying to leave the door open to discuss maybe anything that came out of the commissioner's approval, and I don't recall anything being flagged or concerned other than just an adoption and approval.
I think they adopted all of y'all's recommendations and added a couple others to it, and we sent it on. The report's been published.
Right.
There was a question, though, about our relationship with workers' comp. It has improved, and I'm going to credit Deborah Knight, the state fire marshal, with that, because she came from that side of the world over there, so that's helped a lot. And I think we've gotten a little more clear guidance on some of the things we could ask for. I mean, they're still very limited in that they don't track stuff reported to them by profession. They just track what's coming into them from the cities. But they're willing to work with us a little bit to try to streamline some of the information we're getting. So, I mean, you still got all the HIPAA and all that we have to deal with. But at the end of the day, the conversations I've had, they feel like our injury reporting system is better and a lot more specific than anything they have. So actually they're kind of curious to get some stuff from us. So we're going to try to continue those discussions with them. So again, just two state agencies talking to one another.
Imagine.
Yeah.
So they don't track by job?
No.
And is that internal with them or is that statutory?
I can't answer that.
Okay. And then, because that would be relevant for if we're going to take something to the legislature mm-hmm. to try and fix this. And then just the back and forth reporting. Are we ostensibly getting what we need, or is there more?
We're getting what we need from our injury reporting system.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're good there. But I'm still all about working closer with them, see if there's not more we could do together on it. So we're going to try to continue those discussions.
Okay. All right. When do we need to have something like that kind of in the can if we're going to take anything to the legislature?
I don't predict that. I mean, you're free to take anything you want to the legislature.
Well, no. I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good stuff.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Once again, this is a discussionable item. There's no action that's needed. But we have it on our agenda and it's open at the moment. So is there anybody in the audience that has a comment or wishes to weigh in?
Well, since I missed that one, what is our reporting percentage? Where are we at now as far as departments?
It's similar. It's like the high 70s to 80%.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we came in at, 76% or something like that this time. And again, what we got to remember, and Grace does a great job of looking at this regularly, 25% of the agencies we regulate have three employees or fewer. Mm-hmm. So the reality of them having an injury every year is probably pretty low.
Sure.
We encourage everybody to report a zero every month, and the compliance guys do a great job of reminding them that. Most of them are trying. So I think that's pretty reasonable to say.
Sure.
We're getting
higher than we were.
Participation.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
But I think the concern, though, is that so we're saying 76% of the agencies are reporting.
Have reported.
But we're not saying 76% of the injuries that took place were reported. Because you could have one agency that didn't report could have a lion's share of injuries.
76% of the agencies reported an injury. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair to say, based on the fact that 25% have fewer than three employees,
reality
is they didn't have anything to report. So
sure.
We're probably hitting a home run on this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think there's a lot we can do different in the injury reporting, and I think that's conversations that we want to have at a couple different levels, but we just haven't got there yet.
I guess for the sake of discussion, as long as we have this open, and I know we've had previous conversations on this, what my concern would be is if that list of, I guess what we'd be talking about, 24% of the departments, if that list was clearly folks, some with just one member of their organization, but if one of those organizations was a huge city, then I would have a concern. I would have a concern if Dallas wasn't reporting or Houston or San Antonio.
We're not seeing that. And
right.
I can, the compliance guys do a good job of staying on that. And they have identified problems like that and they've been addressed and mm-hmm. we're seeing corrections.
Good.
We're seeing a lot of effort. And when we see something like that reoccur, mm-hmm. they're pretty fast to reach out to them and they correct it.
I don't want to speak for you guys, but I think that was our concern at the last meeting, is that we were just wanting reassurance we weren't missing something, and I think you've clarified that for us,
and what we've learned is that, you know, in every city, all this lands on one or two people's desks, somewhere in HR or somebody, it's their job to input the information, and they got a stack like this, and every day they just work through the stack from the top, so, I mean, you know,
right.
But we have identified problems where there's been significant injuries that were in the media, that we were aware of them, and we started timing when we got the report, and we reached out and said, hey, we got a problem, and they corrected it. And so I think it's an ongoing issue. But of the ones that we have contacted and said, hey, you need to do better, they're doing better.
Okay.
We're not seeing any blatant, deliberate violations there.
That's good to know. I think that was our concern, that we were looking at something that was, you know, depicting the state of Texas with the injury report, and it sounds like it is.
Credit to the compliance guys. They do a great job with that.
Okay. I'm good. I don't have anything else. Anybody else? Any other further discussions on item number 6? Okay.
Item number 7, subject for future agenda items.
So, Chief, do we have any more rule reviews coming our way? I know we have a commission meeting between now and then, and they may
sure
throw something
else. There'll be a couple on their next agenda. So
okay.
There'll be a couple more sent to you. We're trying to keep it to two a meeting, so I can tell you to anticipate that. I think it would be worthy, and I don't want to dictate y'all's agenda, but from a staff perspective, I think one of the next agenda items for you guys in December is going to be election of officers,
mm-hmm.
because with Daniel Buford moving up, that left an opening. We're going to be closing in on the end of the year, something you got to do annually anyway, and you should have some new members seated. And so if I can, without getting too far off the topic, I mean, this is kind of a broad agenda item, but I want to give you a quick update. The application period for your committee closed last Friday. We received 103. So now they're in the process of being reviewed by the commission's subcommittee on committee member selection. And I think their goal still is to have some recommendations at their November meeting to fill the current seats. I can tell you, just for everybody's education, you currently have two seats that are up because they want to start terms. Remember, we got to have terms for each seat now. So you have, as our illustrious legal counsel cleared up for us, we have existing committee members, which are all of you, and now we're starting to add committee members who are in term seats, term-defined seats. So for 24, they have two seats that they have to appoint somebody to that would have a six-year term, and that would be position 1, which is currently held by Reedy, and position 9, which is currently vacant, and it has been vacant since 23. At the same time, they are going to have to fill three empty seats that are assigned future term years. So in 26, 3, 4, and 5 are going to come up to be filled in a term-defined position. And those three positions currently are vacant because of some recent either resignations or people being elevated to the position. So they're going to address those three as well, and they're going to have to work through what that's going to look like. Are they going to appoint people to finish those terms, or are they just going to go ahead and start those terms? And, you know, we'll still be able to meet the staggered part, but that's all something they're going to have to discuss in the next month or so. Then we're here, we are close to the end of the year. In 2025, they're going to have three more seats they have to fill as term defined positions, and that's position 2, 10, and 11. Just for clarification, position 2 is the year. 10 and 11 are new seats, so you remember they wanted to get all the committees at the same number of membership, so they're going to add two seats to this committee to put you at 11. So those two would start in 25. And then the remaining three, 6, 7, and 8, don't come up till 27, and currently that's Abrego, Anderson, and Ramos. So anyway, that's a quick rundown for you. So they're basically going to be looking at filling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seats right now. And if they keep with what they did for health and wellness, and I don't know why they wouldn't, they'll do like a standing eligibility list, if you will, for probably a year to 2 years. And that will expedite filling those new termed seats in 25 as soon as they get to 25. So I think they'll accomplish a lot here in the next 6 weeks, and we'll expedite that process moving forward.
Well, I also understand
that makes sense and helps.
Yeah. Well, we also talked that it's a massage process because this is the first time this has been done.
And remember that the terms being defined are not defined in the rule. They're defined in a policy, and that was done deliberately because we knew we would have instances like we're seeing right now with three seats that are suddenly vacant and need to be filled. So we'll be able to massage that and work through it. Mm-hmm. But I would anticipate, and from conversations I've had with that committee, they will have recommendations to fill all your vacant seats right now before your December meeting. So
okay.
I think it would be safe to say that you could plan to do an election of officers in December, and that would carry us all the way into 26.
Okay, so by our next meeting,
you should have 9 members.
We'll have 9 members. So we'll have at least 4 new faces that'll be on this committee. Minimum.
Well, minimum of 4. Minimum of 4, maybe 5. Yeah.
Right.
Depends on what they do.
Okay. That's great. Change is happening.
That 2-minute summary represents a lot of work in the background.
there's a lot of work going on with this.
There was a lot of that,
out front. And you know,
well, it's taken us years to get to here. So
it took us 3 years to get here.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say. This was a recommendation from Sunset, a requirement from Sunset to fix this. I think the commissioners did a yeoman's job of being very transparent in how this was determined, and we're finally to the point we've received applications. They successfully filled the Health and Wellness Committee. Now we're working on firefighter advisory, and we've already started taking applications for curriculum and testing because their goal is to make recommendations in November for that committee as well. So those 5 commissioners got a lot of work to do in the next 6 weeks, and they're all about it right now. So we've had some conversations, and there's some meetings coming up for them to meet and work through this. The process worked well the first time. I don't see a lot of hiccups moving forward. I think if anything, a couple might have been surprised by the number of applications for this committee, but it wasn't alarming to me at all. So, and it was great to see. I mean, we've got 103 people show interest in getting on here. And I think what's going to help is if they keep with the eligibility list, if you will, that's going to speed that process up, but it also gives some hope to a few more people on there that there's going to be an opportunity pretty quick.
Sure. So this question is probably geared towards Frank. So at our last meeting, we elected the officers for 2024. We have one vacancy right now.
Correct.
So at our next meeting, we would be just probably reappointing or filling that position for the rest of this year, which, and for what it's worth, it would be just for that meeting. Because in 2025, we're going to be under the same rule requirement that we reappoint our officers again.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we weren't electing all of the officers next meeting. It would just be...
I think you could. I mean, because we're going to be sitting right there. We'll be in December.
But then we'd still be under the gun to do it at our next meeting in 2025. Because it's for the calendar year, if I'm not mistaken. It says at the first meeting each calendar year we elect our officers.
Right. So, yes, the election would just be for the remainder of 24, and then you'd have to do it again in 25.
Mike Wisco's opinion. Bureaucracy at its finest, but that's what we'll do.
Well, I'm just asking. I have an opinion. You have an opinion, but it's probably the same. But I just wanted to run it through the legal aspect of it. So
yeah, it's kind of clumsy right now. But once we get this process going, it's going to be a lot easier, mm-hmm. a lot less confusing and redundant. So,
and I guess this might be worth revisiting. But in the future, when we all of a sudden have a last-second vacancy created on the committee, it would be great if the commissioners were able to fill that almost immediately so that it wouldn't impact this organization.
Yeah, and that's why they're going to maintain eligibility.
And I like that. Yeah. But I think there probably needs to be a policy, like if the same thing for the officer. So if any given time an officer
sounds
chooses
like
to step down.
That's in the law, so we probably can't do that.
So we can't.
If it's in the law, we're not going to be able to do that. We'll have to do it annually.
Right. So the question, so this hypothetically, this is where, so if the first meeting at 2025, we appoint the officers or elect the officers from this committee, but by the second meeting, either somebody decides they don't wish to have that role anymore and step down, or they left the committee, I feel like we should be empowered to replace that person at the very next committee.
If it's on the agenda, you can't. I mean, that's okay. Going to be a technicality. We're going to have to catch it, or you're going to have to catch it, or somebody's going to have to say, hey, be sure and put this on there because this person's leaving. And it's all about the timing of when the agenda gets submitted to the register. And
right. Well, without violating the law, though. Yeah. The moment Commissioner Buford left this committee and became a commissioner, it seemed like we could have got this, if we could have got it, on the agenda, we could have simply replaced him at this meeting.
Forget the human factor, and none of us caught him.
So okay. I'm just making sure we could legally have done that. That's what I'm asking.
Oh, certainly.
Okay.
Certainly.
That's what I'm asking.
It would have had to have been on the agenda.
Okay.
It's not.
We're good. They answered my question. I'm happy with that. All right.
Remember, common sense doesn't fit in the legal.
Well. Hey, so yes, it does. We just proved it did. We just recently proved it did.
Since NFPA 1970, i.e. 71, just has an effective date of September 18th of this year, I'm curious if coming up, if Rick's going to would be able to give us a little presentation on.
No, this is going to have to be discussed by the commissioners, and they'll set the implementation date.
What they're going to do as far as changing anything or inspections or anything like that. No,
we haven't seen it, so we're not ready to do that.
Yeah, okay.
We just know it's coming, so somewhere.
Right now, it's a rumor, and according to NFPA, as of Friday, it is not out yet.
Okay,
so we're waiting for official notification. If it happens before the agenda gets submitted, it'll be on the commissioner's agenda.
Okay. We're supposed to have an effective date of September 18th.
My contact at NFPA said that is not in effect. That's all I can go by.
Okay. Anything else for future agenda items?
Would it be worthwhile to put 41.23, the annual CE, on there, so we can factor in the changes that are being done with the National Wildland Coordinating Group on the position task book for wildland. Those certification requirements are changing, and there may be room to have a discussion on that changes if we wanted to do anything similar to make sure that they stay in line.
So if I'm not mistaken, somebody needs to bring that to the commissioners, and they need to give it to us, right? So if you're familiar with that, if you would wordsmith something in an email to the commissioners as well as Chief Wisco and myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got some ideas, but I want to.
Right, and then hopefully they'll send it back to us, and then we can okay. open that. And that we still have plenty of time to get that on our next agenda. We're not setting the agenda right now. We're just right. doing the preliminary agenda items.
Does Health and Wellness, do they post an agenda?
Yes.
Okay. I have somebody that's interested in coming, so.
Yeah.
For next week.
It's next Tuesday, right?
Posted. Yeah, it's next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Anything else on item number 7? All right, let's move on, Antonio.
Sure. Item number 8, future meeting dates.
So I believe we have a date in early December.
December 5th. I wrote it down. I can see that page. December 5th.
Yep. Everybody's still good.
You have a time preference.
10.
10? Okay. Yeah, anybody else? 10?
I liked the 10.
Okay. We'll go with 10. I know in the last several years, I think 3 of the last 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, we ended up canceling the December meeting because we really had such a light agenda. But I see this meeting happening this year because we're going to, if nothing else, have new commission, new advisory committee members, and we need to elect that position. So.
Yes.
So we'll definitely plan on December 5th having this meeting. And also, you know, to at least 2 rule reviews, you're proposing we throw something to the commissioners at their next meeting that may come our way as well. So I see us having a meeting in December. So I'm just throwing that out there because at 3 of the last 4 Decembers, we ended up canceling the meeting. This time I see it happening. All right. And what you had something you were going to share with us, Chief? Or are you done? Was something else you were going to?
I shared everything I had.
Okay.
Unless you want me to share something else, I'll make something up.
No? Any other questions or comments? Anything else from the audience that you guys are here? It's not a big group, but we're here to respect you and listen to you. If you came here with a passion or idea or a thought, you have the opportunity. None? Okay. Number 8.
Or number 9, actually.
Oh, number 9. Yeah, we
Item
just did
number 9, adjourn meeting.
I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Okay. Antonio?
Second.
Jim, second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. So moved. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.